He sent forth his word and healed them and delivered them from their destruction. Psalm 107 verse 20. The message you're about to hear is a straightforward, down-to-earth and insightful teaching by Lady Reverend Adelaide Heward Mills. Lady Reverend Adelaide serves under her husband, Bishop Dag Heward Mills, as a pastor at the Lighthouse Chapel International. Lady Reverend Adelaide is a handmaiden of God and is privileged to have been used by God to pastor and to speak the word of God, both nationally and internationally, to all ages and gender. She has a plethora of messages on many issues, experiences, and situations of life from God's perspective. Get ready to be transformed as you listen to this message by God's anointed handmaiden, Lady Reverend Adelaide Heward Mills.
Amen. Let's turn our books to Esther chapter 2, verse 7. Okay, what happened is that there was a queen called Vashti. And this queen was married to King Ahasuerus. Then the king made a feast, which lasted so many days, and invited her to come and show her beauty. But the king was drunk. So Vashti, the queen, refused to come. I think she felt that she was just going to be embarrassed. So she refused to come. And then the king's advisers said that because of what Vashti has done, all the women in that province will become rebellious. So they should do something about Vashti's misconduct. Otherwise, the women in their own homes will become intolerable. I have a script I'm developing called The Dilemmas of a Pastor's Wife. And the dilemma is sometimes, which one should she do? When she has a problem or a challenge, it is private, but it is public. Her husband called her and she didn't come. It should be a marital issue, but it suddenly became a kingdom issue, politics and government. Something that is happening small in your household. Now it is being discussed by ambassadors and diplomats and ministers of education, social studies and everything about your action and the impact on the kingdom. You came to marry small. It has become a national issue. And sometimes in ministry, when you occupy a certain place, you don't even have a private life. Your private life is always on public display. And you are not allowed to even have a breather. So that's a dilemma because you think you have a personal life. And then you are surprised to find out that your personal life has become a national and international affairs. Amen.
Amen.
So that's just by the way. But Vashti didn't come. And then they said, let young virgins or maidens be sought for the king, beautiful in the whole country, and let them come together and let them have a beauty pageant and let them choose out of them the one who will be queen to this king Ahasuerus. So that is exactly what happened. So when they were writing up the names, then there was a man in the palace, already working in the palace, called Mordecai, who had a niece called Hadassah or Esther. Amen.
Amen.
And she was an orphan. So when you read Esther 2 verse 7, it says, and he, that's Mordecai, brought up Hadassah, that is Esther, his uncle's daughter, for she had neither father nor mother. And the maid was fair and beautiful, whom Mordecai, when her father and mother were dead, took for his own daughter. Amen.
Amen.
So Mordecai represents a form of a pastor or the Holy Spirit. Esther was an orphan. And not only that, Mordecai himself was a refugee. It wasn't like he came from that country. He wasn't an indigent of that country. He was a refugee. And if you are the niece of a refugee, in fact, your background may not help you much. Because your refugee is also seeking refuge. And you are seeking refuge in a refugee. It's a double-barreled tragedy. And she was also an orphan, and they had all been carried as captives to this kingdom of Persia. And Mordecai had become the person to nurture Esther. And he is the one who advised her that enroll in this beauty pageant. I'm speaking to you about how to be a star. Because the word Esther, the name Esther means star. The name Esther means star. So to become a star, number one, you will have to rise above certain negative things or seeming negative things in your life and background. Amen. Amen. Esther could have said, I don't come from this country. How can Mordecai advise me that I must enroll in a beauty pageant that they are looking for a wife for the king of that country? I don't think I even qualify. And not only that, I have been brought up by a man. I am not sure what he has taught me. And I am not sure whether I will meet the qualifications that are being asked. I am an orphan. And some of us, as women, or even as children of God, look to the tragedies that have happened in our lives. And we are always beholding that tragedy. And the Bible says, what you behold, you become. Because the Bible says, and we, beholding as in a face the glory of God, are changed from glory to glory. So when you behold the glory of God, you become that thing. And whatever you behold, you become. And some of us are beholding the fact that you are an orphan, the fact that something bad happened to you, the fact that your husband left you, the fact that your life is in disarray, the fact that you don't know what next. That is what you are beholding. And you are becoming that thing. But to become a star like Esther, you need to rise above that which seems to be negative in your background. And know that God takes that seemingly negative thing and puts them together. You see, Joseph, he was sent to a place. He didn't ask God for a dream. He just went to sleep. And then God came to give him a dream. You see, this God, he's fond of that. Sometimes you haven't called him. You are leading your small, simple life. Then he goes to bring you dreams. And when you dream that your father, your mother, and your brothers are bowing down to you. And then you dream again that you were binding corn, and all the sheaves of corn rose up, and they bowed to you. Then you dream again that the sun, the moon, and the stars are bowing to you. You didn't orchestrate the dream. But the fact that God has made you a dreamer or given you a dream makes you a target for the enemy. So Joseph innocently shared his dream with his brothers. Oh, I was just whatever, and I had it. He said, what? We serve you. I mean, I don't know why you would take a young boy's dream so seriously. Usually you say, oh, you overate, or activity of the mind. Oh, but they took it very seriously. And when he had that dream, it was the beginning of a lot of things unraveling in his life. His brothers sold him into slavery. He said, come, let us seize this dreamer and let us see what shall become of his dreams. So it wasn't really about Joseph. It was about the vision that God had for him. And then when he was sold into slavery, God gave him favor in his master Potiphar's house in Egypt. And as if that was not enough, Potiphar's wife wrongfully accused him, and he was cast into prison. Now, when you have a dream that the sun, the moon, and the stars are bowing down to, and you are in prison, it looks like your dream and reality don't match. You know, and he could have had a pity party that, I mean, I was there, you came to give me a dream. From there, I've been sold into slavery. I've been put in a pit. I came to Potiphar's house. Small favor, I was trying to please you and not sleep with Potiphar's wife. And instead of you promoting me, I've ended up in prison. It is the seemingly negative things in our lives that make us complain and grumble. But God doesn't see it as a tragedy. God sees it as raw material that he is using to work out his plan and his purposes. So it's not enough to just say, hey, Reverend, my father died at a very young age. Nobody looked after me. Because of that, I didn't become educated. So because of that, Lady Reverend, I don't even have good jobs. And because of that, this and that and that. And because of... But Joseph came to a place, he said that, what you meant for evil, God meant for good. So it may be evil, but what really matters is in whose hands you are placed. So what really mattered for Esther is in whose hands her life lay. Amen. You don't just get up and become a star in the kingdom of God. But God takes the seemingly negative, broken, unattractive, things that may disqualify. Oh, she's from a broken home. She doesn't have father, she doesn't have mother. How can she be our queen? She doesn't qualify. But the Bible says God has taken the despised things of this world. God has taken the things that men don't count as anything, and he has made something out of them. When my husband was starting the ministry, you would think that, well, because he was a medical doctor, everybody would say, ooh, a medical doctor is going to serve God. But no, we had a lot of what? Verbal lashes from the community in Ghana because they said, God does not use professionals. So suddenly your profession became a negative in your background. They said, if you are a doctor, look on it and be a doctor. But don't come and say that God has called you. Amen.
Amen.
He brought up Hadassah. And she was fair and beautiful. They were looking for beauties. And Esther was also called among the beauties. Everybody has something in her that God can use. Everybody. Sometimes you think, oh, but this bad story happened to me. How can God use it? God can use it. Amen. So Esther, in spite of being an orphan, in spite of being all the things that she was also fair and beautiful. So God recognized the source of all that you have in your life. The good, that is your beauty. The bad, that is her background. And the ugly, the fact that she was an orphan. Amen.
Amen.
For the Bible says that we know that all things work together for good to them that love God and to them that are the called for his purpose. Amen.
Amen.
To be a star, Esther learned to stay under godly authority. Amen. She learned to stay under godly authority. Esther 2, verse 20. Esther had not yet shown her kindred nor her people, as Mordecai had charged her. For Esther did the commandment of Mordecai, like us when she was brought up with him. Amen.
Amen.
Mordecai says, you are going for the beauty pageant, but don't say where you are from. At this juncture, you don't need to say where you are from. And the Bible says that everything Mordecai told Esther, she took it like a commandment. And just as she had obeyed him when she was young, she obeyed him also now that she was a flourishing and beautiful young woman. It's not enough to start to obey God. You have to follow through. And unfortunately, God uses men. Paul said, imitate me as I imitate Christ. So it's not everything a man says that you are following, but so far as it is based on God's word, God puts authority structures in our lives. Sometimes the authority structure is your pastor. The authority structure in your home is your husband. You may have been smarter than him in school, but you chose your head. It was by democracy. That's why when you are choosing your head, choose carefully, because legs and things don't work anywhere. When the head doesn't work, the whole part of the body cannot walk straight because the head is not working properly. So as a godly woman, you must choose your head. Young people, you see a man, he doesn't fear God. You see a man, he doesn't know God. The Bible says, don't be unequally yoked with unbelievers. I asked one lady, is he born again? She said, Lady Reverend, he is a black American. As if being a black American replaces being born again and knowing God. Him, he's a black American, and so what? And so what? Lady Reverend, he came forward, and so what? But Esther was somebody who was subject to authority. The greatest authority in your life is the word of God. Every Christian must have a nevertheless in your life. Sometimes you feel some way about this, or you think you should do this, but when you are confronted with, thus saith the Lord, or this is what God's word says, you must say nevertheless. You see, Peter was a veteran fisherman. And Jesus came and said, drop your net here. He said, you know something? We've been doing an all night, and we haven't caught anything, number one. Number two, you are a carpenter. We've known you for 30 years. And you are talking to a well-seasoned fisherman. And you are saying that I should drop my net here for a catch. He said, Lord, we have toiled all night and caught nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word. So I said, Lord, I really love the boy. Nevertheless, at thy word. Lord, I really want to sort this person out. Nevertheless, at your word. Lord, I have another idea contrary to your word. Nevertheless, at your word. Jesus said, if it be possible, let this cup pass. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done.
You are listening to Honey on My Lips with Lady Reverend Adelaide Howard Mills. Stay tuned in. Wisdom is better than rubies. Obedience is better than sacrifice. To marry is better than to burn. To be quiet is better than to strive. And the list goes on. Why would you choose the good when you can have the better? In a classic series titled Better Things, Lady Reverend Adelaide Howard Mills challenges every believer, the young, the old, the married and the single, not to settle for the mediocre, but to aim for the things that God in His ultimate wisdom has classified as being better than others. Better Things, a must-have for every believer. This and other Holy Ghost-filled messages through Lady Reverend Adelaide Howard Mills can be purchased from the Vision Bookshop at the Kodesh Lighthouse Chapel International, North Kanishi. Welcome back.
But she had somebody who could speak into her life. You don't belong to any church. Every day you go for this meeting, you hear revival, you go. You hear restoration, you go. You hear what?
Breakthrough,
you go. You are not planted. It's those who are planted that the Bible says they shall be planted in the courts of our God, and they shall flourish like the palm tree. When you take a plant, every day you uproot it, you put it here, it can't grow. It will die. And there is no perfect church. In fact, we were perfect before you came. As soon as you came, we became imperfect. But so far as we are on this planet, a church is a human institution. But you need a covering. And you need the word of God to go into your life. To become the star that God... Mordecai said, you know something? Don't say where you are from. And the Bible says Esther obeyed like how she had done when she was a little child. Some of you young people, when you become teenagers, then you feel that. Now you know. I want to announce to you, you are at the most ignorant stage of your life. But you may not even know that. The most ignorant. I know because I've been there before. I remember when I was 18, looking forward to finishing O-level, 16 or... Looking forward to finishing O-level. And thinking, I just want to do a short course. I thought about it, I said, law is very long, 5 years. So what short course can I do? Then I saw, they said, government secretariat, 18 months. I said, great. I can't wait to do this course. Because when I do it, you see, whenever they make food in the house, and I say, I don't like, they say, do you earn money? Eat what's on the table. So, don't worry, I will soon be in government secretariat and I will have money and I will buy what I want. And you see, when I saw my vision of government secretariat, when I look back, my vision was that Every day I could see myself smartly dressed with my bag waiting for a taxi. That is my vision for this world. You know, everybody wants to progress, but my vision was that, and then I'll stand by the roadside, and then I'll take my own taxi, and then, you know, I won't be subject to them, and they'll see that, you know, I can also live. Young people, I'm telling you, when you are 18, you are foolish. Hey. You have no idea. You are so foolish that when you look back. So that when I passed to go and do law, I told my father, I want to be a secretary. And he said, why? Instead of telling him the truth, like all young people, I said, you know, everybody has a gift, everybody has a strength, and I think that I'm good for secretarial, and I think that, no. My father said, really? Anyway, young lady, you have passed to do law in the law faculty. You will go and do the law. If after that, you want to go to government secretariat, it's only 18 months, you can go. After that. And I said, I mean, I don't know, why do parents force children? Why don't they look at their giftings and their talents? Why do I thank my God that my father did not listen to my foolishness. You need to be subject to authority. You need to be subject to the word of God. He said, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, not as many as are led by their feelings. And we ladies, we are led by our feelings more than the Holy Spirit. He said, this girl, when I see her, I don't like it. This girl, when I see her. So when the Bible says, walk in love, you are walking in hatred, bitterness, unforgiveness, division. You are not subject to anything. In fact, spiritually, you are a great rebel. You are not going to become a star. It's the ones who are subject to it, especially the authority of God's word. There are many things I've done that it wasn't that I got a vision. Even like the women's ministry, daughter, you can make it. She conference, first fire. It was not my vision. It's subjection to a husband who hears from God, who said, do this, do that, call it this, go this way, do this. I just follow. And then as I've followed in obedience, I look like a star to you.
You are preaching!
Amen! But most ladies, you are not used to submission. That's why I said, if you are choosing your head, choose properly. Don't choose a head that every day is leading you into the wilderness. You can see it before you marry him. But you say, love is such a beautiful... It is not love, it is foolishness. In trousers and a shirt. How to be a star, and we are running. Amen. And the Holy Spirit, to be a star, will take you through a time of preparation. A time of preparation. When the king's people were advising him, they said that, verse 3, Esther chapter 2, verse 3, and let the king appoint officers in all the provinces of his kingdom to gather all the beautiful young virgins to the harem in Shushan, the citadel, under the custody of Haggai, the king's eunuch, who is in charge of the women. Then this is the verse we are looking for. Let their cosmetics be given them, and let the young woman who pleases the king be queen instead of Vashti. Amen. Now, when you read Esther chapter 2, verse 9, it says that many young women were gathered, verse 9, and the young woman pleased him and won his favor. That is the king's chamberlain who was looking after the women and giving them all the things they needed. And the Bible says that I'm changing my version. And the maiden pleased him, and she obtained kindness of him. And he speedily gave her things for purification, which such things as belonged to her and seven maidens, which were meet to be given her out of the king's house. And he preferred her and her maids unto the best place of the house of the women. Amen. The Bible says that things were to be given Esther for her purification. Verse 12. Now when every maid's turn was come to go into the king Ahasuerus, she had been, after that she had been 12 months, according to the manner of the women. For so were the days of their purification accomplished. To wit, 6 months with oil of myrrh, 6 months with sweet odors, and with other things for the purifying of the women. Amen. Amen. Now, Esther was beautiful. Esther was fair to look upon. When they were counting the beauties, they chose her. But she still needed to go through a time of purification. If you want to be a star, the Holy Spirit will send you through a time of purification. And the Bible mentions some of the things that were given, which we will not be able to maybe go into Exodus 30 that proves certain things. But one of the things that is mentioned is the oil of myrrh. If you remember, when Jesus was born and the wise men came, they brought gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Myrrh was something that was used to embalm the dead. And it was a prophetic gift signifying that Christ will have to die on the cross. If God is to use you to become a star, you will go through a time of dying. The Bible says in John chapter 12, except a grain of wheat fall into the ground and die, it remaineth alone. So yes, Esther was beautiful. You had the talent and everything, but you will go through a time of purification. Purification of your motives. Purification of your emotions. Because some of you, if God is to use you at this stage, it will not be good. Pride alone will kill you. Pride on a silver platter. But God will allow you and embalm you with the oil of myrrh. Amen, somebody. When God calls you, there's nobody God calls who doesn't go through a wilderness experience. There's nothing like that. Even Jesus, we read yesterday, was led by the Holy Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. Amen. The Bible says, and he came out in the power of the Holy Spirit. After you come out of your wilderness experience, you come out with power. And you are humbled, and you know that it's not about you, and that it's about Jesus. Amen. Amen. So some of us want to be great in the kingdom of God. We want to, hey, you will have some may. You will die to something. Amen. Amen. I told you this on Friday, as I was in the ministry, doing full-time ministry, and then I thought at a point that the challenges were too many, and that they had forgotten who I was, and that don't they know that I have a profession before I came, and don't they know that I have a specialization I did in the UK, and don't they know that I could have had a law firm on my own? So Satan said, yes, you know, you shouldn't be here for them to be belittling you. You need to look for a job as a judge so that you will show them where you come from. Because when I came full-time, I was so in love with the things of God, and I wanted to do something spiritual, to preach. But I was assigned to the nursery school, which I was already doing. But I didn't want that as my lifetime's job. And then I complained to my husband that, you know, this place that you have put me, I'm already doing the job. I started the school. And now I'm even paying the attendant with my lawyer money. You know, and I've told you that I don't want to be in the school full time. I want to also be attached to the church in a way, because I love to preach and to, it doesn't even have to be on a stage, but like to teach the word of God, you know. I said, well, as for me, I don't know. It's the school that you have to go to. But I couldn't believe it. And people who had come to the church later, they were being allowed to preach and do this. And me, faithful servant, when you were just 5 members, I was there. And you have forgotten my good work. Oh, but my Father who sees in secret was at work. I said, God, this is not my idea. And as for me, I don't have anybody to run to sometimes. Who should I run to? Bishop Saki. So that he will call my husband and say, Presiding Bishop, you are really wrong. Apologize to your wife, Presiding Bishop. So I've learned to always go into my closet. So when I talk to you about time alone with God and all that, I am sharing things that have worked for me. I'm sharing places that God has brought me through from. It's not a fairy tale. So I went into my closet. I started to pray, Lord, I just want to leave. They are treating me very badly. And even they don't respect me. And even my husband, when I told him, he said, oh, really? Okay. So you say that you wouldn't mind teaching in the Bible school some subjects. I said, yes, I would. I said, well, go and see the dean. This dean, when I was in high school, she was 4 years behind me. When I entered the church, she didn't even know where I was. This dean you are talking about. But when I went to my closet crying, then the Holy Spirit said to me, have you seen anybody God has used who has not gone through the wilderness? Most of the things I teach, they are roads I've walked on. And I said, really? Tell me. He said, Jesus went into the wilderness. Abraham, he got to a place, the land that God had promised him. It was in the wilderness, and there were Canaanites in the land, the promised land. There were people in it. He said, Moses, I called him, and yet he found himself at the backside of the desert. I said he was going to deliver Israel, but he was with a few sheep. Contradiction of what God said he would do. But all that is the mayor. You are being prepared to die to yourself and to your self-importance and to who you are and to your plans and to your expectations. The time of purification. He said 6 months with oil of myrrh and 6 months with sweet-smelling incense. And the book of Revelation says the prayer of the saints is incense unto God. So you don't just get up and you become a star. You go through a time of preparation. And the time of preparation is not always easy. And that is where most of us give up and say, God, you know, that's not my idea. What time of preparation is that? But when you go through that time of preparation, you become very sober. And you know that everything is about God and not you. Going through that wilderness experience made me ask my, when I was crying, I said, God, I'm going. And the Holy Spirit said, who called you? I was coming to say Bishop Doug. Then I said, no. God, you called me. I said, okay. So I've brought from not becoming an ISIS zone. That because you can't have your way, when you come, you say, let me tell you something. You and that's your church, eh? And with your church members, eh? I'm checking out, okay? If you don't respect me, Ministry of Justice respects me. Six months oil of myrrh, 6 months with sweet odors, and with other things for the purifying of the women. So yes, you are beautiful. Yes, you have a calling. Yes, you have the anointing, maybe in some measure, but other things will have to be dealt with, including hidden things. What's your motive for being in the ministry? God will try that one. Some of you say, oh, I just want, Lady Reverend, I just want your anointing. What you actually want is you want a stage ministry. But the grace that God has given me is not just stage ministry. There's a lot of hidden ministry. You say you want something that you don't even know is what it's about. 6 months of other things. There are other things in your life God has to deal with. When you are proud, God can't use you. He said, humble yourself. Forget about who you are, except in Christ. Some of you, when you say, I know who I am, you're talking about your bank account, your family background, your profession. But that's not what we are talking about. We are talking about knowing who you are in Christ. The purifying of other things. Ask yourself, what are the other things that God may be working on. That he wants you to be a star, yes, but he has to work on other things. Amen.
Amen.
You know, Esther had a very teachable spirit. When she went to that place where they were being prepared, the Bible says that anything Haggai gave her, that's what she used. She didn't bring her own things. That, oh, I know what makes me beautiful. So I'm coming to... She just had a teachable spirit. When you have a teachable spirit, you go far. You go far because whatever God says, you love it and you want to comply. Therefore, God will give you grace to do it. Amen.
Amen.
God gives us grace to fulfill his purpose, not ours. Amen. Chapter, verse 15. Now when the turn of Esther, the daughter of Abihail, the uncle of Mordecai, who had taken her for his daughter, was come to go in unto the king, she required nothing but what Haggai, the king's chamberlain, the keeper of the woman, appointed. Because Haggai was the king's chamberlain. Therefore, Haggai knew what the king wanted and what works for the king. But how come there's so much rebellion in the church of God? We shouldn't tell you anything. We shouldn't advise you on anything. When we say, come, this boy that you have been moving with, hey, Pastor, you have a very bad mind about me. Pastor, to the pure, all things are pure. That's why when he was holding me on the waist around the market, you don't have to think of bad things, Pastor. But Esther was a submissive woman and said, Haggai knows what the king likes, so he's likely to prepare me adequately for the king. Amen, ladies. Verse 17. We didn't finish that. And Esther obtained favor in the sight of all them that looked upon her. So you see, you may be beautiful. You may be purified. You may be whatever. But you need grace and favor as a star to go to the next level. Amen. Verse 17. And the king loved Esther above all the women. And she obtained grace and favor in his sight more than all the virgins, so that he set the royal crown upon her head and made her queen instead of Vashti. Amen.
Amen.
The king loved Esther above all the women. The king loved Esther above all the women. God loves us all, but there are certain things that can enhance God's love for us. God said, if you love me, obey my commandments. And I and my son, we will come and we will make our abode in you. When you love me, you obey my commandments. You become a special place that we like to live. So yes, you may do all the things, but there's something called favor that comes when God loves you above others. The Bible says, you love me above all my companions. So there's something like that. He said, David was a man after God's own heart. So there are different levels of God's love, and it depends on us. Yes, God so loved the world. That one is a salvation. But for God to love you and be intimate with you depends on you and I to a large extent. The king loved Esther above all the women, and she obtained favor in his sight. Amen.
Amen.
Verse 20. Esther had not yet showed her kindred nor her people, as Mordecai had charged her. For Esther had done, okay. Now, chapter 3, verse 1. When you are a star, you find your purpose through affliction. You find your purpose. After a wedding, look, Esther's wedding was a public holiday, not your own that you say bring your card because you are afraid of the people who will come. Esther's wedding was a big public affair. It was a public holiday, and everybody was invited, and everybody went, and everybody was served. Not one drink, any type you want, any food you want. That's what the Bible said. But after that, Haman, the son of Hammedatha the Agagite, was advanced by the king And his seat was set above all the princes that were with him. Amen. If this affliction had not happened, Esther would not have found her purpose. She would have thought that her purpose is just to marry and become Mrs. Ahasuerus. Now, the natural things and events that happen in your life when you are becoming a star are not things that just happen. They happen for a purpose. Amen. Amen. So, Esther 4 verse 1. When Mordecai perceived all that was done, Mordecai rent his clothes, put on sackcloth with ashes, and went out into the midst of the city, and cried with a loud voice and a bitter cry, and came even before the king's gate, for none might enter into the king's gate clothed with sackcloth. Amen. The Bible says that this Haman became a thorn in the side of the Jewish people. And he told the king, you know, there's a certain group, they are very peculiar, and they are a threat to your security. So we have to annihilate all of them, take all their treasure. So it's not the Holocaust that began these things. It happened from Bible times. And the king said, oh yeah, get my signet, my ring. I give you all authority over them. And they sent letters to all the provinces. Get ready, you are going to be finished. And Mordecai tore his clothes, put on sackcloth. He was wailing. He came into the king's gate, although it was not allowed. It was against protocol. He came into the king's gate. And he was crying and shouting. Then Esther saw him and said, ah, I mean, what is wrong with this? My uncle, verse 4. So Esther's maids and her chamberlains came and told it to her. Then was the queen exceedingly grieved. And she sent raiment to clothe Mordecai and to take away his sackcloth from him. But he received it not. Esther was in the castle. God had promoted her, but she had become out of touch with the kingdom of God. So that it's her maidens who had to come and tell her that I think something is going wrong. Your uncle is walking in the king's gate. Your father, he's torn his clothes. He's put ashes and he's shouting. And the Bible says Esther was exceedingly grieved. Most of the time, we want to be emotionally sympathetic, but that is only how far we are prepared to go. We don't want any deep commitment. We just want emotional commitment. Oh, what a pity. Oh, how sad. Oh, so souls are perishing there. Oh, so these people, they are converting people to Islam. Oh, how sad. Oh, but you don't do anything about it. Because when you get more involved, it is going to tax you more, and you don't want that. So like Esther, we simplify the solution to things, and we say, just give him raiment, clothes. He was wearing clothes and tore them. And you are going to give him clothes again. His need was not clothes. He needed more than that. But Esther didn't want her fingers soiled. Esther didn't want to get too involved. And many of us in our walk with God, we don't want to get too involved. Even in the church, you don't want to get too involved because it's going to take too much of you. But unless you really pay a price, you will never get to where God wants you to get. Esther was exceedingly grieved. Amen. Mordecai refused to receive it. Then now Esther is looking for another. So she called for Hatak, one of the king's chamberlains, verse 5, whom he had appointed to attend upon her, and gave him a commandment to Mordecai to know what it was and why it was. Hey, you have become queen now. You don't know what it is. And you don't know why it is. Because the welfare of God's kingdom has become secondary to you. The Bible says, seek ye first. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. But we are seeking other things. Oh God, touch my marriage. Oh God, touch my home. May your husband love you. Yes, your husband will love you, but it's not the first. Amen. He said, what it was and why it was. She does, your people are mourning. In every province, they are crying, they are putting sackcloth and ashes, they are weeping, they are fasting. And you don't even know what is going on. You don't know what it was and why it was. Because you are now Queen Esther.
Mercy.
Some of you, the reason why God has not promoted you yet, the day he does, we won't see you again.
Mercy.
Now you don't have a carpet in your room. So when you are praying, oh God, I have no one but you. But since you got car, carpet, hey. You come, even the big manism you enter the church with. It's like, no. You are now at another level. And when they say, we are having a convention, you don't know what it was. Why are they having a convention? You don't know why it is. Because now you are a big person. When we talk to you, we have to address you with all your titles. Potentate, Vatican, your lordship, honorable before. Yes. You are too big for God to use you. You are too big to be a servant of God. You are too big to lower yourself, because in the kingdom of God, God is not a respecter of persons. To know what it was and why it was. You had a sir. You grew up with Mordecai. Today your uncle is in sackcloth and ashes and you don't know what it was and why it was. God should forgive you for promoting you. God, he should forgive you. Before you were married, you were a single woman. Every time we're having all night, you come. Kebala mama mama. When we are dancing, say, one thing I ask of you. Now, since that boy said he likes you. One thing that I say, Lord. You are exchanging that boy for Jesus. Indeed. You don't know what it was and why it was. You say, Pastor Kra, I don't know why he's having these Friday prayer meetings. Pastor Kra, I don't know why he's telling me to join a ministry. You don't know what it was and why it was. Now I say, hey, this church, they are taking very long. But when you were in the nightclub, you said, play more. But when you come to the church of God, then you pretend, I don't know what it is. I don't know what it was. God made a mistake by sending his son to save you. It's a mistake. You don't know what it was and why it was. Look, it's good that it's God, because some of us, we may not have been as merciful as God. But God is merciful. Amen. Verse 7, and Mordecai told the person that Esther had sent of all that had happened unto him and of the sum of the money that Haman had promised to pay to the king's treasuries for the Jews to destroy them. And then he gave him a copy of the writing of the decree that was given at Shushan to destroy them, to show it unto Esther, and to declare it unto her, and to charge her that she should go in unto the king to make supplication unto him, and to make request before him for her people. And Hatak came and told Esther the words of Mordecai. Again, Esther spoke unto Hatak and gave him commandment unto Mordecai. All the king's servants and the people of the king's provinces do know that whosoever, whether man or woman, shall come unto the king into the inner court who is not called, there's one law of his to put him to death, except such to whom the king shall hold out the golden scepter that he may live. But I have not been called to come in unto the king these 30 days. And they told to Mordecai Esther's words. Then Mordecai commanded to answer Esther, think not with thyself that thou shalt escape in the king's house more than all the Jews. Amen. For if thou altogether holdest thy peace at this time, then shall their enlargement and deliverance arise to the Jews from another place. From another place. It's a privilege when God calls on you to give. It's a privilege when God gives you a little patch in the vineyard to work. And don't think that you are indispensable. Because God can raise even stones to praise him. It's just a privilege. And you don't see that. Every day they are worrying me. Every day they are calling me. A time will come, you will not be called anymore. I've seen it. A time will come, we will not need certain things. So we will not call on you for certain things. The season would have passed and you would have missed your opportunity. And Esther is just giving excuses. Go and tell him that the protocol in the palace, no, it's not like he thinks. You see, when I was living in those quarters with him, he didn't have protocol. When you need him, you just say, Papa, and he says yes. But now it's palace. He doesn't know palace protocol. So go and tell him that. Here, unless a golden scepter is stretched out to you, you don't just get up and go to the king like that. Because he doesn't know my circumstances. And because he's not royalty, he's just talking. But Mordecai himself had gone within the king's gates. That was not allowed. Because of how much he loved God's people. When he rent his clothes, the Bible says he went into the king's gate, which was not permitted. He had already done it and he knew that it could be done. But when you don't want to do something, you give 1,000 excuses. So, Pastor, I'm washing. Pastor, I have to go for my children. Pastor, I have to...
My baby.
When you go and stand in heaven, when you go and stand before God, say, okay. So, God, I'm surprised to be here. I didn't know you would call me this early. God says, well, now you've come to heaven. What did you do with the time, the talent? Like, ooh, I thought I had more time, Lord. I didn't know it was that serious. Why? Why? And I often wonder when I read this account, why she cannot bring her uncle to the palace if she brought Haman to her palace. Later, she invited Haman to dinner. Why could she not call the uncle and say, uncle, what is going on? But you are sending commanded that this. Go and tell him that. Go and tell him that. Because now you have become a big woman. Go and tell him that. Forgotten so soon. And Mordecai says, look, if you hold your peace, deliverance will arise from somewhere else. We are privileged that you can do something in the house of God. My father, when I knew him and I was growing up, he was not a tongue-talking, demon-casting man. But he loved God and he feared God. And he was continually given to the church, serving the church. When they're having a convention, he'll say, he'll open his doors. Oh, come. Bring priests from everywhere. Even priests from men. The UK, here, their wives, whatever, they all stay. And they will be very angry, we the children, because it means a lot of work. A lot. And we'll say, he won't even consult us, we the children. He just goes to bring people. And then he says that we should minister to them. And then he says that we should do this. We're very bored. But in the Methodist church, when there's a convention, this one will say, I'll bring a cow. This one will say, I'll bring this sacks of rice. This one will say, I'll bring this oil. I'll do this. Why? For the kingdom of God. Amen. And we used to criticize him. We say, everything church. When he goes to church, they say, give an offering. He say, I'll pay for the piano. In our very view, he signed £15,000, shipped the piano, brought it to the church. And he says, oh, the people are singing. They don't have hymn books. Now, I'm publishing hymn books for everybody. So there are hymn books in the church with my father's name behind, donated by Mr. and Mrs. to everybody. Written in gold. But you, when you go and ask him for shoes, you say, but the last time I bought you shoes, why, you want new ones? So we used to be very upset with that. But when I grew up and I could understand, I saw that he always saw it as an honor to give to God. And little me, I've become so busy. Sometimes 1 a.m., I'm up. I've been walking up, and then I have to dice onions, do this, knead meat pie, do that, make orange juice, do this, and be serving people in the church. Then they'll go for their conference. When they are coming back, then they'll ring you, landline. We are on our way. Then you are running. And you are supposed to be a rich man's daughter. You don't even feel it. Anyway, little did I know that God was preparing me to play that role in Lighthouse Chapel International. It was for my own good, but I thought that they are really worrying me. God brought international people through my home all the time and taught me how to deal with international people. I didn't know that. But when I grew up,
So I was going to marry this man, and the ministry was going to be international, and I would need to step up to the plate to do this and that. I now see this is what God was doing. He was actually purifying me and making me ready. Amen.
It was great having you today. To find out more about the resources available by Adelaide Heward Mills, please visit the Vision Bookshop at the Kodesh, North Kanishi, or meet her on Facebook at Reverend Mrs. Adelaide Heward Mills. For prayer and counseling, please call 0243-187-900. You can also drop us an email at honeyonmylips@gmail.com. We would love to hear from you. Until next time, God richly bless you.